Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. This liturgical season in which we are about to enter now, Septuagesima, referring to the 7 Sundays before Passion Sunday, but also referring to the 70 days until the Sunday after the Feast of Easter. So this liturgical season recounts the whole history of our redemption. If you look in a particular way at the text of the office of matins that are prayed by all priests and religious, either privately or publicly in the morning, early in the morning, you see that we go through the whole history of our redemption, particularly now with the Old Testament, going from Adam to Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and Moses, but always drawing a parallel between these Old Testament figures and Christ. Christ as the completion or perfecting or even restoring of what each of these holy figures represented. Christ, the new Adam, restoring friendship with God, friendship of God with his creation and with men. Christ, the new Noah, whose shedding of blood became the source of salvation to appease the divine chastisement, as we read in the hymn, beautiful hymn, for the feast of the most precious blood of our Lord. He who once in righteous vengeance whelmed the world beneath the flood, Noah, once again in mercy cleansed it with the stream of his own blood, coming from his throne on high on the painful cross to die. Christ, the new Abraham, the only begotten son of the unique father of all nations, from whom all fatherhood in heaven and on earth takes its title. Christ, the new Isaac, whose sacrifice now is eternally acceptable to God. Not only acceptable, but the only worthy sacrifice that could justify or satisfy God's justice. Christ, the new Jacob, the beloved son, in whom God the Father is well pleased. And finally, Christ, the new Moses, taking all men of goodwill to the eternal promised land. But with today's Mass begins the first week of the long pilgrimage to Golgotha, and to the resurrection. And with much prudence and with a motherly love, the Church does not wish for her children to be yet completely deprived of the joy of the Nativity, and prefers for her children to give a few more weeks before the penitential fast an abstinence. This is the reason why, although the somber colors of mourning and penance are now covering the altar and the priest, purple color, fast and abstinence are not yet required by law until the beginning of the Lenten season. Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. As we said, Christ, the new Adam. Adam failed in his mission to keep his descendants in the eternal beatitude of the Garden of Eden. And faithful to the promise made, to the first covenant established with God, he has cut off the vine from the tree of life. Its branches have withered away, and now, through thy act, the ground is under a curse, says the book of Genesis. All the days of thy life thou shalt win food from it with toil and suffering and pain. Thorns and thistles it shall yield thee, this ground from which thou dost win thy food. The world had to wait until the 11th hour for the Master to call all men to work in his vineyard, as we just read in the Gospel. The pride of men in our forefather Adam caused the loss of our beatitude. But the humility of the new Adam became the source of a new birth, a new lineage. And here we see how fitting it is to present the figure of the old Adam and the new Adam together in the liturgy. The joy of the birth of humanity and the joy of the nativity of our Lord, still present in our souls. Tied with the fall of humanity and the loss of paradise, with the shadow of the cross and the reopening of the gates of paradise, of heaven. So the joy of the Nativity and Christmas should be that comforting balm which our souls need before entering into the mourning season of Septuagesima. Lesson of humility that ties together Christmas and the cross. We who are justly punished for our sins, as we read in the Collect of the Mass, may be mercifully delivered for the glory of His name. Man tries by all means to elevate himself. Nothing new under the sun, pretending to be his own end, self-sufficient, pretending to be the sole ruler of the laws of nature, defying the laws of God, rejecting the reality of our fallen nature and of sin, in order to find excuses and reasons for his own failures and disorder. But again, soon these branches, sick, dying branches, will wither away and be cut off from the vine by the hand of the Master in order to save and preserve the healthy branches and their good fruits. The cost of the precious wine is only to be found in the sacrifice of the innocent on the wood of the cross. As man tends to elevate himself by placing himself as his own end, as his own first principle and last end, he forgets that only God, his Creator, is the source of all the gifts he has. So the remedy against these disease of the origins is to be found in the virtue of humility. Spiritual authors have offered to our meditation the image, as you know, of a ladder. A ladder in order to climb that steep mountain of our pride and to reach our beatitude, in placing God as our first principle and last end. Saint Benedict wrote, "If we wish to attain the highest point of humility, and if we wish quickly to reach that heavenly exaltation which is attained through humility in the present life, we must, by what we do to attain it, set up that ladder which appeared in Jacob's dream, and by which angels were shown to be both descending and ascending. For without doubt, we are not to understand that descending and ascending, but as descending by exaltation and ascending by humility." So I will simply refer you to the 12 steps of humility presented by Saint Benedict in his rule for your private readings and meditations during this holy season. But I would like to consider here the same idea, the same image, shared by St. Francis de Sales, whose feast day will be celebrated tomorrow, as he kind of summarizes everything that St. Benedict gave us, but in 5 degrees of humility in his spiritual conferences. Certainly to reassure his disciples and spiritual sons, "Be not afraid, I will not offer you 12 steps, but 5 simple steps." So the first degree is to know oneself. According to the old maxims carved on the walls of this ancient Greek temple of Apollo, "Know thyself." Wisdom, prudence, begins with the proper knowledge of oneself, to see ourselves for what we are, no less, no more. And with the help of grace, we can dissipate slowly the darkness or shadows of sin in us to reveal to our conscience our mistakes and errors, but also, and this is important, also all the gifts, talents we have received from God. Without that first disposition, essential disposition, to know oneself, one will never be able to ascend to that very first step of that spiritual ladder. And this first knowledge of ourselves should reveal our emptiness and lowliness. Yes, our emptiness, which is the essential condition then for God to enter, to penetrate into our souls, and to give to our soul true joy, true beatitude, to comfort our hearts. Make no mistakes here, my dear friends, not a fictitious or superficial humility, where we loudly speak of our imperfections and weaknesses, saying to the flatterer, "Oh, I am nothing. Oh, I am worthless." But at the very first correction and reprimand, we get deeply offended and irritated. No, but a sincere and profound humility, as St. Francis de Sales uses the word recognition. Recognition, this means to speak about the reality of who we are with a true grasp of our nothingness. And be careful here not to fall into certain errors. This inner emptiness or nothingness has nothing in common with Buddhism or Shintoism or Hinduism, which philosophy and practices both inseparable from each other, and it's important to remember that. Practices such as yoga, Reiki, Tai Chi, and other disciplines that are intrinsically connected with the philosophy that underlies these practices, where essentially man is led to a complete refusal or rejection of his very essence, his very individuality. What makes what he truly is before man and before God. Since this individuality in these Eastern beliefs, and in the West, we find that in New Age theories and philosophies, this very essence that constitutes my whole being, this individuality is perceived as a pure illusion and must therefore be destroyed. This is the whole purpose of nirvana, like a drop of water in the ocean, to enter into the realm of dispossession of oneself, dispossession, but in a philosophy deprived of any notion of God. There is no existence of God. It remains a pure philosophy, not a theology. No notion of God, no notion of incarnation, no notion of love between God and his creature. You can see what that dispossession of self will lead to. And who in place might fill the void in the souls of its adepts. But the mystery of the incarnation reminds us of the great plan of love that God has for us. And that dispossession, in a Christian sense now, that dispossession of our own will in the practice of renunciation to self and humility leads to a deeper possession from God of our whole being for our own eternal good and beatitude. You see here the essential element, God. You remove it from this whole philosophy and the whole edifice falls apart for the destruction of our human nature. And from that overflow of love poured into our hearts is born the virtue of charity. Not just philanthropy, but true charity in view of everyone's eternal salvation. Charity towards our neighbor, which again, in the philosophies I just mentioned, the notion of charity and love for neighbor is completely inexistent. Go visit India and you will quickly realize that. You must not help the poor, the one suffering as he's going through these karmas, in order to free himself from his bad karma and to reach nirvana. Completely opposed to our Christian philosophies. Blessed are the poor in spirit, can then be translated as blessed are those who renounce themselves, who impoverishes themselves by stripping themselves of their pride and attachments to self, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, and they store up treasures in heaven. So from that recognition, acknowledgement of our nothingness, St. Francis de Sales explains that the third degree of humility is to confess now our nothingness. When others detect it, ouch, how painful. And here we see another step forward on the way to perfection, as he acknowledges that this degree of humility is already very accomplished. And a good way to measure that degree of humility in us is to see how easily or not are we keenly sensitive to corrections. How much do these corrections or comments affect us, particularly from those who are close and dear to us? Husband, friend, wife, brother, sister, etc. In the next degree, one rejoices and finds peace in the thought of this nothingness and lowliness, even when we are discouraged or discredited, because one sees how much more can God come then and dwell in his soul. And the best example, obviously, is to be found in our Blessed Mother. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, because he hath regarded the humility of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. My dear friends, pray this beautiful canticle, first chapter of St. Luke. Pray the canticle of Our Lady often, and you will find much consolation and joy in the turmoil and struggles of your lives. This is personally one of my favorite prayers. And when you see my lips moving at the end of Mass, on the way back to the sacristy, if you were ever wondering what I was saying, it's not part of the Mass, but I simply like to recite this canticle in thanksgiving for the gift of Mass and the sacrifice of our Lord renewed on the altar, and yet the unworthiness with which we approach the Holy Sacrifice. Think of that connection as we begin the Mass with, I will go into the altar of God, to God who giveth joy to my youth. So do we conclude in the secret of our hearts, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Finally, and this is the top of the ladder, is the desire and love of being nothing. And our saints conclude, those who reach this level are very happy. But the number who do it is very small. And so, my dear friends, as we begin our pilgrimage to Easter, as we begin our journey to the heavenly Jerusalem, as offered to us in the liturgical year, may we continue to understand and cherish the value of a single act of humility. And from there, with patience and perseverance, let us renew often these simple, repeated acts of humility. As the dripping of a multitude of little drops of water can crack the hardest rock, let us with confidence rest assured that in our perseverance we might break the rock of our pride and soon enjoy the soothing presence of the love of God in us, for whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.